modules. DC, some of you might have come across, is the Dublin Core Metadata Framework. They have a module for OSS where you can describe in more detail the metadata for the feed. That there just describes the creator, me. GUID, again, is another way for uniquely identifying that feed. Then you've got description and content. Again. Right. Quite quick. Move on to Atom. As I said, Atom is meant to be a simpler format than RSS. Atom 1.0 includes the application level protocol, as I mentioned. This tree structure here is the, just as I had for RSS, is the structure for the Atom feed. So first of all, you've got the feed, which is the document element. You've got no wrapper like channel, so it is there's less payload. ID, unique identifier, title, link, author, info, the exact same as RSS, but just different, given different names. This is the breakdown of each. Where we had an RSS, we had item, we now have entry. You can have multiple entries per feed, just as you did with RSS. And as I said, the one nice feature is the protocol. The idea behind this is it's a protocol based on HTTP that the servers and the applications would use to communicate easier than just a browser and an aggregator. Example. So this is the exact same story as I had in the RSS. So you've got author, name, title, link, ID, modified, issued, and this category there is subject, and summary and content. Just the same, just marked up differently. Right? Advantages of one type over another. There's none really. So I'll just list what each of them has. RSS has enclosures for the inclusion of rich media content. It's widely supported, mainly because Atom is pretty new. It's simple, and it's extensible through the use of modules. Atom, again, is simple. That was its aim. Standards body. RSS doesn't have a standards body behind it. IETF is the standards body for Atom, so you're sure that new elements won't sneak in without knowing it. The smaller payload, as I mentioned, there's no wrapper elements. It's not as verbose. It's extensible to the use of modules, and it includes the protocol. How do we use these feeds? Right? Aggregators or news readers. The feeds themselves, they automate the transmission of the different types of data. So that's the news stories or the images or the audio. But we need an application to read those feeds. Term aggregator was used to refer a desktop or online tool that manages and displays several information feeds. Just as you would manage your email in an email client, you'd manage your news in an aggregator. These are different types of aggregators. I've lost a few slides here. Okay. There's aggregators that are integrated into a web browser. There's many of those. Some of you might use the Firefox browser. There's an aggregator called Aggregates. There's one called Habari Zenu. There's some for Internet Explorer as well. There's standalone applications. There's NetNewsWire for the Mac. There's Great News, RSS Bandit. There's a whole host of them. But it's just that there's a different ways you can use them. There's online aggregators like blog lines where you'd manage your feeds online through a web interface.
Those delivered still online.
They're delivered online, but they sometimes they do have caching built in, so you wouldn't have to poll the server, the original server. There's also integrated into a mail client, and the new releases of Thunderbird email client have RSS built in. There's also plugins for Microsoft Outlook that let you manage your RSS feeds. More recently, browsers themselves have started to include RSS support and Atom support. Firefox has its Firefox Live Bookmarks. Safari 2.0 has Safari RSS. The new versions of Opera, I think it's from 8 upwards, has RSS built in. And IE7, if you've seen the betas of IE7, it has RSS built in. What I like the best are the aggregators built into the web browser, or those that are integrated into the web browser, like Habrizinu, because it can avail of a feature called auto-discovery of RSS feeds. I'll go into that in more detail now. Auto-discovery is pretty simple. All you have to do is, in the header of your HTML document, is add one of these three lines here, and that will let the browser know that there's a feed here for this site and inform the user. Four browsers listed there have that feature built in. Safari, you can see a screenshot, that's in the location bar, so if there's a feed available using auto discovery, that blue RSS icon will appear. If you click on that, you can view the feed or subscribe to it. Opera the same. There's Firefox, that's down in the status bar, and IE7, that's just up just underneath the location bar. So that allows you to subscribe to the feeds a lot easier than going off searching for them. Screenshot of an integrated aggregator. There's aggregate. You can see on the left hand pane is my install. So you've got all the subscriptions on the left categorized. On the right hand side, you can see the parsed feed with all its content and links still intact. So it's a lot quicker than going off to that site and viewing it. Another screenshot. Great news. They all seem to follow the same format, with a left-hand pane for your subscriptions, right-hand pane for viewing the content within. A lot of the aggregators do support automated polling. So you could set the aggregator to poll. You've got a feed you enjoy reading, you can set, and it updates quite often, say Slashdot or Google News. They update, say, or once an hour. So you could set your RSS reader to poll that server once an hour, and if there's any new data, it could give you a pop-up or would bring it in to its cache, so you could read it later offline. So really, it's an automated way of getting all your feeds on your machine. Extended syndication types. I briefly mentioned these before, with audio and images. It's a pretty new trend within the last few months or so. Audio, a lot of people have been including audio. I'll discuss it a bit more later. Also, that's been given the term podcasting. Very popular, and it was named after the iPod. You can see there. Video has also started appearing. Vodcasting, the original. And the way that the RSS feeds, I briefly touched on it, the way that the RSS feeds and Atom feeds include this rich content is through the use of enclosures. Enclosures have been a feature since RSS 0.2. Basically, how you would include, say you have an MP3 of some sort and you want to include it in your site, you could add it as a download, but you can also add it as an enclosure in your feed, and that way these automated aggregators can pull your feed, see that you've got an MP3 ready for download it, and just have it there waiting for you to listen to. Image there is 0.92 and 2.0 RSS, that's what they included. Oh, it says 1.0, as I mentioned, isn't really used. It used enclosure module. Atom can use the very same module to include rich content, but it also can use its link element. As you see there, you just use a rel attribute to change the context of the link. Media RSS. I've mentioned modules before. Yahoo have got on board and released a media RSS module. It supplements the enclosure and link capabilities in RSS and Toot and Atom. Media RSS is aimed at video, short films, TV, but it also adds a lot more metadata for that media that's being included. The reason for that is so that it can be searched a lot easier. And it will be integrated, as I said there, into Yahoo's new video search engine. Google have also released a TV video search as well, and that will use some of the similar technologies. Podcasting in more detail. I've mentioned how a desktop aggregator works. You subscribe to a set of feeds. You can easily view the new data, or you can view all the data together. Aggregating podcasts is quite similar, but the only difference is you've got music to listen to rather than text to read. Podcasts can be syndicated by the use of enclosures through RSS and Atom. The main audio format that's used for podcasts is MP3, but any format can be used. Hog for instance. Next. Podcasting. In the last few months, there's been a huge boom in the amount of people that are releasing podcasts. There's many sites that are podcasting services. Audio is one. And many different types of podcasts. You've got music, which could be an unsigned band releasing their music through enclosures and podcasts, talk shows, training MP3s, story, audiobooks, comedy, and interviews. There's a lot more, I suppose interviews is the one that's used most. There's a lot of conferences around now, web conferences, and most of those seem to be cropping up on podcasts. There's a conference in Sydney, and nearly all of its web essentials, all of its lectures have been released as podcasts. There's other people to read them. Right, I've spoke about news feeds and podcasting and enclosures for content syndication. There are also non-news type syndication formats. These would be, they're not directly related to RSS and Atom, but they could be used by an aggregator to parse them. iCal, I think it's Apple's calendar syndication. XBEL, XML bookmark exchange language, is for bookmark syndication, synchronization, and backup. There's actually a few plugins, one for Firefox, which allows you to say you've got bookmarks at home, at work, it allows you to synchronize those bookmarks together so they always stay the same, and that uses that XBEL format. OPML is another format that is used for storing a person's feed subscriptions. So inside all these aggregators I've mentioned, the online ones or the standalone ones, you can export all your feeds into an OPML format. You could take that file, bring it to another aggregator, and just populate all your subscriptions using that OPML. It's a way of backing up all your feeds. If you've got an OPML file, it's usually referred to as a blog roll. Not blog roll. The aggregators I've discussed before, they usually only handle text data. Some of them would have it handle image data. With podcasting and audio, It's a bit different, as I said, because you've got audio to listen to. The biggest aggregator out there for podcasts and media is iTunes. It has a complete podcast directory built into it, so you can navigate through the different categories. That's why the category element that I mentioned before in RSS is very useful, because it allows these directories to be built automatically. So iTunes is an aggregator that handles podcasts. There's also iPodder, which is an iPodder X, kind of the same project. They're a cross-platform version, and they're not tied to the iPod, so you could download to your hard disk or to another media player and play your podcasts over those. Here I've got a screenshot of iTunes, the new iTunes, and its podcasts directory. You can see on the left-hand pane, the second one down, it's podcasts. If you click on that, you'll get this directory where you can navigate through the different types of podcasts. So I've chosen technology and then news, and then in the bottom pane you can see the different types of news technology podcasts that are available. If you press subscribe there, iTunes will go pull that server and look for its RSS feed, see if there's any enclosures available. If there is, it'll download them to your machine so you can listen to them later. And the nice thing about iTunes is if you have an iPod, plug it in, you can automatically set iTunes to sync all these new podcasts to your player, so you can listen to them on the way to work, on the train or whatever. Same thing with iPodder, it's just a screenshot of the iPodder directory, pretty similar. Does the same thing, but it won't sync with your iPod. I'm running out of slides here. Right. It's all well and good talking about these feeds. How do I find them? I've mentioned before auto discovery, which is built into the browsers, so it will inform the user if there is a feed available. There's also search engines dedicated to searching blogs and RSS and Atom feeds. Recently released is Google's blog search. Feedster.com has been around for a while. So that you just use that same as you would any other search engine, except it only searches RSS-enabled sites. There are also directory services, as there is for the podcasts. These directory services are for feeds, technorati.com and syndicate.com. If auto-discovery is not present on a site, if they don't have one of those three elements in the header of their HTML, they will usually have one of these icons here. A link to their RSS feed. You've probably seen one of those on the sites. BBC's is the second orange one in down the bottom. You'll see that everywhere on BBC. Right, on my last section. Content syndication. It's only been around for a few years since RSS 2.0, I suppose, has become very popular. It will continue to improve with different with newer aggregators. When it first came out, I wrote an aggregator in 2001, and within a few months it was obsolete. New aggregators had come out, they had more features, caching, updated polling. That will continue to happen with newer aggregators coming out. Aggregators for mobile devices, for mobile phones, so you can browse on your mobile phone without having the huge payload of having to try and browse a normal site on a tiny screen. BitTorrent, the peer-to-peer, will be used for podcasts and videocasts to lighten the load on the servers. There's these advanced polling methods for the aggregators polling the service for these feeds. At the moment, every time you want to poll a feed, you download the whole feed and see if there's anything new. Huge bandwidth, because some people set their aggregators to poll every 2 minutes, which could be very costly for the hosting providers. There's different ways of doing improved ways. There's server ping, where when you make an update, you would just ping a server with your URL, and that would let it know that you've updated your content. That way, any subscribe users, all they have to do is ping the server, see if there's anything new. If not, go away. If there is, download the new version. Cloud technology is built into RSS 2.0. That is an XML RPC. So in a way, that allows the service to push new content down to the aggregators. So instead of them polling it, it's pushed down. Trackbacks is pretty similar to the server pings. There's a new one now, Delta polling. So instead of polling for the whole feed, you would query the server. Is there a change? They'd say yes. Instead of getting the whole new feed again, you only get the difference, and then you'd somehow make that into the new one on your local machine. The feeds will become easier to find. We've got auto discovery, we've got the directories. There's a trend now in micro formats. That's just a buzzword for XHTML with some attributes, but those attributes allow the browsers, they let them know that there is an RSS feed available, that there's contact details available. There's a new trend now, tagging, called Foxonomy, the collaborative categorization of feeds, images and MP3s. That's how the directories are built up in iTunes and in iPodder and Technorati and Feedster, because people categorize the feeds they read, they submit them, and that category is then included, so it becomes much easier to search. Recently, people have been trying to make money off these feeds because there's no advertising, so they've been trying to include advertising. I see that advertising will be removed from RSS because users don't really benefit from it, and the aggregators can just cut it out. Social software. Some of you might have seen wikis. There's collaborative editing of documents, media wiki, Wikipedia. There's social software like Friendster and Orkut, which is community, online communities. They all support content syndication, be it through RSS or Atom by default. There's a huge number of blogging services available. There's blogger.com, MSN, Microsoft have got their blogger.com is owned by Google, MSN is Microsoft's MSN Spaces, so you can sign up for a website and you can keep an online journal and it will be syndicated. WordPress.com does the same, Typepad and LiveJournal.com. Most of those are free services, so you just sign up and you've automatically got content syndication of the data you post. They're all huge proponents of content syndication, and feeds are turned on by default on all of these services. My closing line. Content syndication is bringing us closer to the ideal semantic web. And by that I mean, through the categorization and Foxonomy and the structured markup of documents, will become a lot easier to search and put into directories the data on the web. And that's it. There we go. A bit short. It's a bit shorter than I'd expected. Any questions?
About these enclosures. Those enclosures, if I'm right, it's literally you put a MIME tag, content length, and you can chuck pretty much anything in there.
Yeah.
So that could be that I put some other form of XML. So maybe I have something that's got an XML digital signature, so I can have some kind of non-repudiation of something being delivered that people are subscribing to. or I could, it could be programs or anything else.
Enclosures, as they are in RSS, mainly are for just files, but as I mentioned, there's the modules. There's an enclosure module which you can use separate to the enclosure element in RSS, which allows you much more metadata for that enclosure. So you could describe everything and include your own attributes for that for all different types of enclosures. So there's a lot more description of what's being included, so the applications could handle it differently. If you wanted to include an application, you described it as such, and the aggregator would.
So that if my aggregator understood it, it would handle it. Yeah. If it didn't, it would just crash.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, but so I wouldn't have the. If someone was trying to do something malicious, it's like be a good way to get people to subscribe to a virus a day. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen.
No. No, they're not very intelligent, the aggregators. So if they see something they don't know, they'll just ignore it.
Plan to take over the world, scuttle again.
There is also talk of true enclosures. So in the examples we saw there was a link to an external file, MP3, or it could have been an MPEG. True enclosures would be serialize the binary data in the MP3s, the Base64 included inline in the RSS, so nothing else would need to be download. Just download the feed and you've got the MP3 there, no need to go off and download the MP3 separately. But that will have to wait until we've got more bandwidth. Any more?
What's your opinion on micro formats?
Didn't cover it that much now. I think it's just a buzzword of what's been around before. It's structurally marking up. For instance, the example I've looked at most is the address tag in HTML. If you structure that in a certain way, and microformats, I suppose, is helping people to have a standard for that. Structure the address in a certain way with different attributes that can then be syndicated in a way through the browsers. They can let the users know that there's an address here. And if I search for Philip Roach on the web, it might come up with my address based on that microformat that has appeared somewhere on the site. No, it's a good way, but yeah. It's been around for a while.
Interesting, interesting on those earlier RSS, because you look at what's out there, and you've got the web, so you've got spiders going out, and they just go out and collect the data. But then you've got things you've got to push it to them, like Frugal, for instance. Mm-hmm. But when you look at Frugal, there's all the things they could have done, but they've gone for the absolute simplest format possible, just CSV. Well, of course, they could have done anything. I'm just wondering, with these, as they're starting to grow, is the inherent danger that they're going to be abandoned because they become too complex?
That's why Atom was released, because they saw RSS going that way, being too complex, too many things included. Atom has stripped it down to the bare minimum, and then has these external modules that you can include. If indeed you want to include a different enclosure type with different metadata, you include a different module with different namespace, so you include different elements inside that Atom. And that way, it's extended that way. Atom will never, the elements within Atom will never be increased. It'll only be two modules that you can extend it. So it will remain simple. That's probably why Frugal went with CSV, because it was simple and people can use it. Atom wasn't really around when they started Frugal.
So Atom's kind of like Firefox, and the Firefox is a basic browser, but then you can download custom extensions.
Yeah.
It does what you want, and Atom is kind of the same.
It's a new base to start from.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see it going with my closing line there. It will help with the semantic, the ideal that the W3C has of the semantic web, where everything is categorized and described in metadata, much easier to search. So there in the feeds that there was no item that did not have some description around it, so you didn't know what it was. If you had some text, it was within a description or a content element, so you knew it was content from somewhere. Before, you see some text, it's in a table cell. It's not tabular data, but it's just in the table cell. Now you can get to the core of what things are. It's much easier to search. It's much easier for people to parse the data as well, for browsers. Browsers will become better because they won't have to cater for all the shitty HTML we've had before.
And what will be the technologies that we're going to see kind of dissolved as a result of this?
We've seen HTML move more into XHTML, which is a stricter. I see the application being used most from now on would be, I see in my world anyway, will be the browser. Google and Sun have released a press release today, I think, about an online office application. And that will be using strict markup languages like RSS and XHTML to markup Word documents. And they'll be easier to search then as well, same as RSS is. There's a new format out now called the Open Document Format, which the new Open Office uses. And I presume Google and Sun will be using the same one to make it a lot easier to search and to store and archive and categorize. I haven't looked into that in much detail. I was just scanning through the specification for Atom 1.0. Didn't read too much into it. From what I can see, it just sits on top of HTTP.
Yeah.
There is the XML RPCs, like the cloud technology that pushes, but that's over HTTP as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, as far as I can tell, my disclaimer.
Okay. Can you feed other RSS through your own, so it might be in the areas?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, so it's like,
BBC have just changed their licensing or copyright rules recently, so you can include BBC's content within yours, claim it yours, fine. Because it's in RSS, it's in structured XML, so it's very easy to parse. So you could have a Python script, PHP script that pulls in BBC and includes it in your and outputs it in your feed. Oh, includes certain feeds within. In theory, you could, because they each have unique identifiers, as you'd seen. There's no one really that has done that can just take one feed and include them to include BBC's feed like that. No. But in theory, it could be done because they all have unique identifiers. Each feed does because it's got its own link, and then each item does as well. And Atom has gone into even has got some of them have generated GUIDs for each item, so it's even more unique. So there's no way there's going to be a clash.
Is that what planets do? The planet aggregators, like Planet Sun and
Atom.
So
they pull in.
When you follow the links from them.
Any more questions? Any last questions? Well, thanks very much, Phil. That was really good. A couple of things. There's a tour. I'm going to give people a tour around the building for those who haven't seen it before. It will just be